At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Cowboys gear the next day. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, hey, if you're going to rep during the good times, you got to be able to keep repping during the bad. I'm like, you know what? That is a great way to put it.
Respect,
so
respect.
Here I am. You know, it's you can't always be there for the good times. You know, as I always say, Dan, real fandom is forged in darkness. And so it's the down times where you're truly tested. That was just brutal to watch last night. Carson Beck, I've never been high on him. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he wilts in the big stage. And he just barfed all over himself last night to the tune of 4 interceptions.
Yikes.
So there go his Heisman odds. I guess his Heisman odds went from like plus 300 to plus 4,000 after the loss. It's just, well, the most wide open college football Heisman race I can recall in a long while, where we're halfway through the season, Dan. I don't think there's a single player you can point to right now and be like, that's your guy right there. I mean, Fernando Mendoza, Zach's guy out of Indiana, probably the leader right now, but who knows where that goes.
Former Cal quarterback.
Exactly.
Which is a good segue to get us into what happened here locally in terms of college football. Is the University of North Carolina, who typically, who cares, but when Bill Belichick is patrolling the sidelines, it's worth noting, as he was in town taking on the Cal Bears last night in a game that you attended. What was it like? Cal came away with a 21-18 sort of uninspiring win, I guess is the best way to put it.
It was... You know, Dan, I always say the worst situation you can ever be in as a sports fan, a situation where you need a Cal win to pick you up. But, yeah, the Bears, they did come through. That is a lifetime of Cal football fandom speaking right there. But, the Bears did come through for me last night, which was nice.
That is your second favorite team.
Yes. Well, I grew up a Cal fan. Yeah. Both my parents went to Cal. Cal will always, you know, hold a place in my heart for me. But, no, I my school is the University of Miami. But no, it was good. I'm glad Cal got the win last night over Belichick. First off, it was the first time I've ever been able to see Belichick in person. I believe, Dan, that last night was the seventh time Belichick has coached a football game at any level.
Start right there. What was he like in person?
Well, I didn't
man.
Meet him, obviously.
Oh, but, no, but is he portly? I think a lot of people are curious.
I mean, it's just he's a guy with a visor on the sideline with a sweatshirt on. But
dating a 24-year-old.
Exactly. I didn't see Jordan Hudson, unfortunately, there. I guess she got her concession stand money before I got into the stadium. But it was really cool, though, because, like, I know we can all – and I did the show with Spadoni yesterday, the morning roast, and we kind of got into it about, you know, is – what's going on at UNC hurting Bill Belichick's legacy?
Not at all.
I mean, are you looking at him a little bit differently? Yeah, maybe. But as far as just what he's accomplished in his career, the resume is you can't knock it. You can't take it down.
This has nothing to do with the Patriots.
Oh, no, absolutely. But, you know, we make jokes about Belichick and about how the last year is gone. No one wants him. NFL's banned him, whatever. They haven't banned him. They just moved on from him. But then you see him in person, though, and as the kids say, there's aura there. Mm. Like, it is, you're looking down there. I got my binoculars. I got a couple pictures of him. And it's just like, that's the best head coach of our lifetime. There he is right there. It's just there's some people in sports you need to see them in person once. Like, you know, I've been able to see LeBron play in person, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to see a front row seat to Stephen Curry. But there are certain people that when they come to town, you know, certain teams, they have these, you know, these sports characters on them that just, you got to be able to say that you saw them in person. And that was one of them for me, being able to see the hoodie, not in a hoodie and a visor, on the sideline last night. First off, on the field at Memorial Stadium with that ACC logo imprinted into the grass, that still is really weird to me. But yeah, definitely one of those, like, yeah, I can say that I saw him coach in person now. And I can say that I saw Cal beat Bill Belichick, which is an incredibly wild sentence to say. But here, thus is the times here, Dan.
So I'm a Cal fan as well. I think I mentioned this to you. Both of my sisters, who are very influential in my life, both went to the University of California. And so I am a Cal fan. I'm not necessarily a fan of the Niners. I'm not a fan necessarily of the Warriors, the Giants. I'm very objective in terms of my coverage of the local
teams.
Very
professional.
But when it comes to Cal, it's like the one team that no matter where I am or I'm working or living in the country, I always keep an eye on the box score the following day as to what happened to Cal football. And I'm like you, man. It has been treacherous over the last couple of decades. This kid, Sango Politelli, he is just, you know, we talked about this last week. Every now and then the stars are aligned and you get somebody like this at Cal, right? Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Jason Kidd, or suddenly, you know, there's a guy like this who decides that I'm going to go to Cal. And it looks that way. It's like, it's him who has, like, you talk about Heisman candidates. He's probably not in the conversation right now, but if he stays at Cal or wherever it is he is next year, he will definitely be in that conversation. But it's like this special quarterback and then just Cal football players. Like the typical Cal football players, bad offensive line, wide receivers that can't catch the ball, a smaller defense. It's okay at times, but not very good. And then you just got this wow factor quarterback.
Who just is so far and away better than anyone on the team. JKS was by far the best player on the field last night, just zipping these absolute bullets of passes in. And oh my God, the drops. The drops. It just, if Cal's trying to keep this kid from transferring, that's definitely not going to help. And then the other thing was just the penalties last night. Oh, my God, the amount of drives that the Cal defense kept alive with just a stupid holding penalty, a stupid offsides penalty. Like, oh, just not a buttoned-up game on either side. I think UNC fumbled on the first play of their
coming off a bye, too.
Yeah, definitely coming off the bye there. Just very sloppy work there from Justin Wilcox's crew. But you know what, Dan? Good teams win the ugly games. And the Bears sit 5-2 now, 2-1 in the ACC. And, yeah, Jaron Kiave Sangapulatele, man, he was, it is fun watching him go. It is fun watching him. When he rolls out of the pocket, there's times I like to see him run a little bit more. Just because, I mean, you got the open daylight there. Yeah. You know, take it, dude. You got that speed. But yeah, he is one of the very fun shows to watch in the Bay Area right
it's
now.
It's the proverbial man playing with a bunch of children. He's a freshman on top of it. The big question, of course, is whether or not he's going to stay at the University of California. They said something interesting on the broadcast last night. By the way, it was televised.
Who's doing the broadcast?
ESPN. I want to say it was Levy, but I don't know.
Okay, so it wasn't Dave Fleming.
It wasn't Fleming, yeah. And it wasn't Osweiler. But it was, I want to say it was two very good. I enjoyed listening to the call. I'm not the biggest Osweiler fan, although he's got much better.
It makes Dave Fleming look very short.
Yeah. Osweiler, of course, out of ASU and the former, got a big paycheck in the NFL. But they were talking about, well, you know, guys like that, they can actually recruit and bring players to Cal because there's kids, whether they're 4-star, 5-star, they're like, I want to catch passes for that guy. Like, I want to go play for him. But the key is that he has to stay in a Cal uniform in order for that to happen. Just getting back to Belichick, and then let's move on. We'll get into the 49ers. We'll talk Warriors, as we always do here on 95.7 The Game on a Saturday morning. But Belichick and that aura that you're talking about, you just wonder for the kids that maybe are not. I mean, these kids are, what, 17, 18 years old as their true freshmen being recruited by that of Belichick. Just how aware are they of what it is that he did in the heyday at New England? Obviously, they're aware of it. But it's not as though they were, you know, in their formative years experiencing it. I'm wondering if the aura now that he's losing and there's all of the talk and the Jordan Hudson and all of this nonsense, you wonder whether that aura is beginning to wear thin. And when he goes to recruit players next year, should he still be at the University of North Carolina, whether he has what it is that you referred to?
Yeah, and because you make a good point there, Dan. The people that the kids that he's recruiting next year, the kids he recruited last year, and these 18, 19-year-olds, I mean, he already had a couple Super Bowls under his belt when he's, you know, for some of the kids who's he's going to be recruiting for the next few years. But also at the same time, you got to imagine if you're a high school football player and you're playing well enough to get recruited, you're a student enough of the game to know the significance of a person like Bill Belichick. And I mean, it's not like, you know, 6 years ago he was winning a Super Bowl, I believe, 2018, when they beat the LA Rams with Sean McVay and Jared Goff.
One of the worst Super Bowls.
Yeah, you know, one of the most boring, unwatchable Super Bowls ever. But I mean, if you're 19 years old, you were 13 when that Super Bowl happened. So you're aware that Belichick had greatness in this league. So I don't think it's going there quite yet, though. That said, the way the last year plus has gone for Belichick, I'm not saying, again, it's not diminishing his legacy. He is still the greatest coach, the greatest football coach in my lifetime. He's up there with Bill Walsh and Don Shula and Joe Gibbs and all of those. But if you're a kid, and they try to present themselves as the 33rd NFL team, you know, they're creating an NFL-style program there. But, like, if you're a kid looking to kind of build your football future up, do you really want to attach yourself to a program that has that much drama around it? Now, transferring so easy this day and age that if you go for 1 year, you don't like it, you can leave. But I'm curious if just – I don't think there's any of these kids who are just like, I don't know who you are. Who is this grumpy old guy sitting in my living room here? The history of Belichick is known, but it's – I can understand if kids might be hesitant to attach themselves to his present right now.
So it'll be fascinating to see what happens going forward. There's a lot of talk that potentially when things, like a couple of weeks ago, there was conversations of the buyout. Could North Carolina and Bill Belichick reach some sort of settlement where he leaves? Now there's talk that if they can resurrect things, finish strong, it might be an interesting storyline for him to finish his career if he turns things around at North Carolina and obviously makes that team competitive. The Jordan Hudson thing I just really enjoy. I want to bring in Caddy, Zach, just because we talk football in these parts, and I'm sorry, Sam, you know where I live on this. When it comes to Cal and Stanford, yes, I know you bleed bear, golden blue, but
it just doesn't hit like it used to. You know, we'll go to Zach in a sec, but you know, last night they were honoring Alex Mack and Jeff Tedford. They were inducting them into the Cal Athletics Hall of Fame, and it reminded me back to the days when Jeff Tedford was running the show at Cal. You know, that 04 team, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, that was an incredibly great team. The 06 team, which tied for the Pac-10 title, didn't unfortunately get an invite.
Marshawn Lynch, J.J. Arrington.
Oh, my God, Justin Forsett, Jahvid Best. You had Deshaun Jackson, Saquon Thompson, the Nate Longshore, Kevin Riley debacles. Like, Cal football used to be very buzzworthy in the mid to late 2000s. And ever since, you know, Tedford left, Cal's never really found that consistent relevance. Stanford, who hosts Florida State today down in Palo Alto, there's no buzz around that program. Even when they were winning three Pac-10 titles in 4 years, no one cared. Stanford just doesn't move the needle in the conversation here, but Cal football does. Cal's just never been able to get back up to that point. And, you know, hopefully joining the ACC can kind of flip that around. I do think these first few years in the ACC have actually been good for Cal, because there has been buzz. There was the Miami game last year that brought them College Game Day. This UNC game got people talking about Cal again. Yes, it was because of Belichick, but you have these new teams coming in that we don't usually see. And so there's some intrigue there. I think it's kind of bringing some eyes back to Cal, but you know, they gotta win more still. That's at the end of the day.
But on the West Coast, when you talk about football, as we like to think of it, when we turn on the tube and we're always focused on the SEC, we're always talking about these teams, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan State, whether it's any of those teams that are considered the perennial blue blood powerhouses. It does not include typically teams not only in this area, but anywhere on the West Coast, including UCLA, USC, obviously, from time to time will have breakthroughs, but they haven't been very good of late, although better. Taking on Notre Dame today. But Oregon and the Ducks have been that one team that can compete with anybody. And last week they took on Indiana. And I turned to my right behind the glass and we're missing Caddy Zach. And I said, where the hell is he? Because I didn't give you a permission slip. But apparently he was out there at Eugene. First of all, a couple of questions. I've been to Eugene. I've covered football out there. You were there for that huge game because you're a Hoosier alum. Did you go to the cooler, first of all?
Yeah, I went to the cooler
a bit.
I was also with my mom, so, you know,
okay.
I got to tone it down a bit.
You had to behave a little
bit. Well, how did mom make her way to a college football game, a road trip, albeit?
Yeah, so this was something that was on our radar for a while. My mom's family's from Portland, and they're all Duck alums. So as soon as this matchup was announced, we had a locket in place.
Did your mom go to the University of Oregon?
So she actually did not. She went to Arizona.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, okay. She went to Arizona, but literally everyone else in her family is a Duck alum.
So you know this, and Sam, I'll bring you into this as well. The University of Oregon is famous for what movie was filmed on that campus?
Animal House.
Thank you very much, Zach. Coming strong. You beat Sam to the punch because
that was a good pull. I was not going to get that.
So you know at the beginning of the game, what do they play?
Well, it's actually at the end of the third quarter. You're talking about Shout.
Yeah, I thought it was in the... Okay.
No, they do like...
A little bit louder now.
Yeah.
Can you find some Shout later in the show?
We'll get back to you.
Cal does it too. I think every college does it now. In fact, they started doing it last night, and I was with my friend who went to grad school at Oregon. He's like, what are they doing? This is an Oregon thing. But I think everyone plays Shout. But no, actually, I'll be honest. I did not know that Animal House was shot at the University of Oregon. That is a fun little fact that I did not know. So I learned something new today.
Yeah, so they play Shout. In fact, we'll just put it out there. What is your favorite sort of tradition in college football? I mean, there's a lot of them out there.
Well, I mean, for me, it's easy with Miami. It's playing Phil Collins in the air tonight and then watching them come out through the smoke.
So that goes back to Miami Vice and sort of that connection.
Yeah, and then, of course, the smoke. I don't know where the smoke started. That's just always been the thing in Miami. You come out through the smoke.
Well, Phil Collins, I want to say, and Miami Vice, he did the opening song. I think he choreographed, or he was the artist for the opening song in Miami Vice. I want to say that there was some sort of crossover and carryover from that. I don't know.
Okay.
We can certainly look that up.
I wish there was a way that we can look things up.
Sure we can.
You know, really quickly. But
it's 2025.
If only such a thing existed. But no, the running through the smoke at Miami, and that's iconic.
I'll give that to them.
They were the first to do it. Everyone else can. That's Miami, you know, often imitated, never truly replicated.
Was it Irvin and those guys doing it? That was post-Irvin.
I was, no, that was during the Irvin days, back in the 80s, and Schnellenberger, that's, you know, when that was good. Oh, the man, the legend, Howard Schnellenberger. Also
Dennis Erickson.
The former Louisville head coach, Howard Schnellenberger. But, no, I've always been big on that. I always like, who was it? Wisconsin does jump around at the start of the fourth quarter.
That's solid.
That's a really good one, too. I'll be honest. I love one of my favorite, you know, cheers in college football. It's the Cal football. You know it. You know the story. You tell the whole damn world this is Bear territory. That's up there, too. I don't know if that fits in the
Stanford
tradition.
Ban. I know we don't like Stanford, but you got to give it to them.
They don't have tradition. They just
have no tradition.
Just a bunch of nerds showing up playing them their instruments.
They but the fact that there is absolutely, I will give it to them because I love the fact that it's so dysfunctional. There's no, at least, I mean, there has to be a method to their madness. But the fact,
of course, they're Stanford kids. There's always a method
there. That it's absolute chaos and there's no structure in terms of their band, the formations, the way they march, and they appear as though they're going to bump into each other. I got to give it to Stanford. But any of you, 888-957-9570, any sort of college traditions that we're not familiar with? There's always the dotting the I out there at Ohio State. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of smaller colleges that we're not familiar with. I'm trying to think of the University of Arizona. It's just like everybody just, you know, you drank until you couldn't see straight. And then you went to a game. But I don't know, aside from Bear Down, Arizona, there's not much going on.
So I need to chime in here. My personal favorite is the Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech. Like, that one is so
that's
cool.
Right. Now, they do that for basketball as well. Is that?
I'm not sure, but I mean, if it, like, back in the day, like when Virginia Tech was legit, like
Michael Vick and company.
Yeah, like Virginia, you like Enter Sandman. Like, it's really cool. And
that's
then
that's a good stick. See, a lot of us in these parts wouldn't be familiar with that, but I do know exactly what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah. And then also, obviously, the whiteout. I mean, that's a whole game I've heard at Penn State, obviously. I've heard that's something you need to experience like once in your life is you got to go to a whiteout. And then obviously the Iowa wave, the
hospital wave.
Yeah, yeah, like that one.
Wait, what is this?
So this is actually one that's a good pull there, Zach. That one, the hospital wave that Iowa started, they started like five, 6 years ago. It's a relatively new tradition as far as college football traditions go. But at the end of one of the quarters, I'm not sure which quarter it is, Zach, if you want to jump in.
I think the first.
The first quarter, that sounds about right. So there's a new children's hospital, new 4 or 5 years ago built, that you could see from the football stadium at Iowa. And so what they do at the end of the first quarter is they have everyone in the stadium turn towards the children's hospital and wave to all the kids at the children's hospital. So that was, you know, one of the newer traditions. And I think, yeah, that's one of the cooler ones that has popped up. Doing a quick Google search, there's the Tommy Trojan. I know. We were saying cool ones there. I was going to say that's one of the lamer ones because I think anything USC does.
I remember
is lame.
One year they played Oklahoma and Tommy Trojan used to ride around the white horse around the track, and I was there for this football game and he bit it and the horse stumbled. Tommy Trojan just went I guess I shouldn't laugh because, you know.
That's all right. It's Tommy Trojan.
He went flying head first. Sword goes, you know, one way. He goes the other. His hat was ajar. I'm like, I was the only guy there going, that's amusing.
I was at the reason I bring up Tommy Trojan, though, is because we were also talking about the Stanford band. The one time.
Wait, the horse has a name.
Does the horse have a name?
Somebody tell me. At USC football fans, you got to be out there. I know the horse has a name. It's Champion or something like that. I want to say that the horse.
That's a lame.
Maybe it doesn't. All right. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I was at the Pac-12 title game at Traveler. Tommy and Traveler. That's a
good job. My God, Zach coming strong. That's with 10 minutes into the show.
Big Ten football knowledge right there.
Traveler. Go ahead.
All right. So yeah, so in this Pac-12 title game, the only time the Stanford band actually did something that I was like, okay, respect on that one. During the halftime show, the Stanford band's out there, and they have the band leader come out, you know, dressed, you know, like a fake Tommy Trojan. So they have like a fake, you know, battle armor on, a towel, draped around him like a cape. And this kid takes a plunger out and does the plunger on the 50-yard line. Oh, my God, did that piss off the USC fans. You would have thought you punched their mother or something like that, the amount they were booing. Like, if you try to make fun of Tommy Trojan, you will trigger a USC fan. It was one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. It was the only time where, like, all right, Stanford band, I see you. You guys aren't useless on this one.
Well, that's the one thing about the ACC, because everybody, especially in these parts, the one thing Stanford and Cal could...
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering. In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
What we agree on is that we all hate USC, right? Like, it's USC, yeah. It's affluence, it's privilege. Didn't really fit into the rest of the Pac-12 schools. So they got to identify who that team is in the ACC. I don't know. Is it Florida State? I mean, who is it that you point a finger at and say, yeah, you're not like the rest of us?
The other teams, I mean, Clemson was kind of that team in the ACC in terms of just so far and away better. The Florida State's supposed to be one of those programs. That just hasn't really been the case the last couple of years. Thank God Mike Norvell is there to make that happen. As far as, like, yeah, that team that everyone hates, it probably would be Clemson right now in the ACC. It's probably Miami, if we're being real. That's the team that everyone hates.
So back in the day, and again, if you want to hit us at 888-957-9570, your favorite college tradition, back in the day when Cal and Stanford, the big game used to mean something. It would be the last game of the year. Neither team would be going to a bowl, at least when I was growing up.
That's what made it so important.
It was the game. They would sell out. Whether it was at Cal or was at Stanford, and you were looking at 85,000, 90,000 plus. And so they used to really get after it. Like, cause they're both obviously two high academic institutions, and they were very creative on the week of the big game of really sort of making the mark. I remember when I was a kid one year, one of my earliest memories of college football, Cal was the night before the game, was able to get to break into the stadium on the farm in Palo Alto, and they burnt in on the 50-yard line.
Oh, my God.
Beat Stanford.
Oh,
and
that's
so
savage.
The game, they tried to cover it up with paint, but the game the next day, you saw that right in the middle of the field. Their home stadium said, beat Stanford. So there used to be that sort of back and forth, which was very, very clever and hardcore. I don't know if they necessarily, obviously.
I don't know if it goes that far. I haven't seen anything like that. But I do. I went to the big game a couple years ago down in Stanford, which is the first time I've been to a game at Stanford Stadium in maybe forever. First off, incredibly underrated how long it takes to get down there. But a very, very nice scene down there. I got to say, the setup around Stanford Stadium is very nice. But I guess the new tradition, I don't know if this is a tradition that's new, but after the big game, there's a storming of the field. No matter who went, you know, Cal wins, you storm the field. Stanford wins, Stanford fans storm the field. And Cal won there a couple years ago, and we're storming the field at Stanford. I'm just thinking, like, all these Cal fans walk around the Stanford field. If, like, Florida State fans storm the field at Miami, which you can't do because Miami plays in an NFL stadium, but if that had happened, it would have been an affront for years to come. If Miami fans stormed the field at Doak Campbell Stadium after beating Florida State, it would be an intolerable act that would be, you know, seen as an insult for a generation. And here, apparently, that's just what we do at Cal Stanford now. After the big game, everyone storms the field, which I don't know. I guess that's part of the fun of it.
When you talk about storming the field, John Elway's last game, and we'll get to a break, John Elway's last game, which was obviously the play,
mm-hmm.
the most
My dad
famous
was there
play
for that.
In the history of college football going back to the early 1980s. If you were to watch Stanford players after that game, they were pretty vicious to Cal fans. There was a lot of Cal fans that got absolutely decked, and these guys are obviously in full uniform. They went after, you know, the fans that were on, because it was absolute disbelief.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to happen. They were huge favorites.
There's only like two cameras in there, too, so no one's going to see anything.
John Elway's last game. Yeah, a lot of this is just relegated to YouTube. Okay. We see you on the phone lines. Hang in there. Any of your favorites? Somebody on the text line says, I know it's not college football, but San Jose Sharks and Metallica, Seek and Destroy.
I like that one.
They love that. So if there's anything out there, we'll keep it to the pros as well, I guess. But we started this in college. Any of your favorite traditions or anything at the professional level, we're here for you. 888-957-9570. It's Sam Lubin, Caddy Zach, Dan Avone. We're just getting started. We'll have much more for you right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sponsors, players, volunteers, and thank you, Pettinelli Financial.
Know you make me wanna take my heels up and throw my hands up and throw my hands back and come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say that again.
Say you will.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
from Animal House. Otis, he loves us. That, of course, was filmed at the University of Oregon, where Caddy Zach was at last week, along with Mom, which just seems sort of strange. I don't know that I could ever, back in the day, road trip with Mom anywhere, especially to a college football game. But I just, everybody has a different relationship with their mom.
Oh, yeah, no, I've road tripped with my mom to a lot of games.
Is that right?
Heck, last year, she and I flew out to Miami for Miami Duke last year.
I
want to
say I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, and then, of course, after I graduated Miami, we road tripped across the country to bring my car and all my worldly possessions back to California, too. So
Sounds like a reality show in the making.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, though. So, yeah, no, my mom and I, we road trip it up a lot. We do a lot of games together and stuff like that. She flew out to Miami, and when I was in college, and we did a couple games together, too. So, you know, yeah, it's possible. I respect what Zach's working on there.
Caddy Zach, so you and Mom, do you guys have a few in the bar at coolers, or do you go to a tailgate, and you and Mom, do you get a little, have a few and just sort of, you know, break it down that way?
Yeah, so we crashed the alumni tailgate there.
Nice.
There was, you know, a handful of us there, a lot of people who made the trip from Indiana, but she had a couple Bloody Marys, and it only takes a few for her, and then I matched her, so it was a great time.
Oh, there you go. Respect for Mom.
Very
I was thinking,
efficient drinker there, I like that.
Yeah, when you hear Mom, you don't think Bloody Marys, so yeah, respect. Mom's throwing back Bloody Marys and going to a college football game and going nuts out there at the University of Oregon.
Sounds like you got a cool mom there, Zach.
We're all for it.
She's
okay.
The best.
888-957-9570, your favorite college tradition, or in the professional level as well. Somebody, of course, as I mentioned, giving the shout-out to the San Jose Sharks. Do you want to get into the 49ers, the Golden State Warriors, which wrapped up the preseason? Now it counts. Things start for real coming up on Thursday when they take on the Portland Trail Blazers. But I guess let's just wrap up college football. And before we do that, we got to get out to New Jersey and hear from our favorite Mitch, who's standing by. What's up, Mitch?
Morning, Dan. Sam, thanks for taking my call. Hope you guys had a good week.
Good stuff, buddy. What's up?
Well, there's more good than bad. Yeah, I'm loving this college football. It was a great win by Cal. I was pissed that Cal let Mendoza go. I think he's going to win the Heisman. Now that Beck messed up yesterday with the four picks, I think he just threw a fifth one. But the Cal quarterback, the freshman, he had a pretty good game. I like him. How do you say Kawi Sangapulute? Is that how you say it?
Sangapulatele.
Sanga Pulatelli, great name, but he's Samoan Polynesian.
Just call him Bobichet.
Bobichet. Yeah, Bobichet, he better hurry up before they're going to be knocked out. Was it tomorrow? Tomorrow, game six, I think. I think Josh is carrying that team, and they're going to knock him out, but they're going to be facing Shohei Ohtani. That was some game last night. Unbelievable. I want to say that. I'm also what about USC tonight? Can they win in the rain? And I think if he has a good game, he might be top one or top two in the Heisman. I'm talking about Jalen Maiava, and they have a good set of running backs. And Micaiah Lemon, he's having a great year too. It's a shame that he won't finish in the top three in Heisman because he's a wide receiver.
Thanks so much, Mitch. Yeah, I would pay attention to that game if Notre Dame was a little better. But Notre Dame is just not.
Notre Dame, they're 13th in the country. They're 4-2. I mean, they had those two. They obviously lost to Miami that first week, and that was an incredible game that Miami almost tricked away. Then they had that tough loss to Texas A&M there. They kind of fell apart late. Notre Dame's got two of the tougher losses in the country this year. I think they're still very much in the mix. Again, they're 13th right now. But, yeah, number 20 at number 13, Notre Dame tonight. It's on at the same time as Tennessee-Alabama, which is also, again, a 4:30 start time tonight. So, yeah, then you got the Holy War at that same time, BYU and Utah. Both those teams are ranked there, 6-0 BYU, 5-1 Utah. An absolutely great slate of college football. This is going to be a great couch rotting
day. Well, I'm curious, what are any traditions out of BYU with the Mormons? Any of you who are familiar with BYU football that can chime in? I'm just curious how
Fred
they
Warner,
do it out there.
Fred Warner, call in.
That's
let us
right.
Know.
Fred Warner, BYU guy. Jim McMahon, to think that he went to BYU. Notre Dame, when you talk about traditions, are you familiar with Play Like a Champion today?
Oh, yeah. No, it's the sign that they slap on the way out.
On your way out.
I'll be honest, I think every Notre Dame tradition is just dumb and overrated. But
of course
that's
you
the
do.
Biased Miami fan in
Touchdown
me.
Touchdown Jesus, are you buying in?
Oh,
did you enjoy Rudy at all? Did you not Did you not get emotional?
I love rooting for Notre Dame to lose. You know, one of my favorite football games ever was the 2012 National Championship game when Eddie Lacy and them just ran roughshod over over Notre Dame. And then I think a few weeks after that, the Lene Kakua story came out about Monti Te'o. And to this day, I just one of the biggest idiots ever is Monti Te'o.
Like, you got catfished.
He didn't just get catfished, Dan. He was like, it was the lamb walking straight into the lion's den and willingly and then being shocked when it got devoured. This guy's like, oh, she's my girlfriend. I love her. Bro, you've never been in the same room with her. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I watched that Monti Te'o doc on him and was just like, you know what? Maybe there's a side of the story that I just don't know that, like, I'll hear him like, you know what? I understand how he got caught up in that. No, I came away from that being like, no, you might be the biggest idiot on the planet. Some girl friends you on Facebook, she just automatically wants to be your girlfriend. You just assume that? Like, the dude is just so delusional in his head, and now he's on He's on Good Morning Football, so he sees his stupid face every morning because we have Good Morning Football on the TV. I am not a Monti Te'o guy. I just, dumb. So dumb.
You know, but in defense of Monti Te'o, first of all, we live in this viral world where everybody has these sort of relationships or people will fall in love with, in sports, all of these apps, Christian Mingle or whatever it is, where people meet each other online now and people create oftentimes these false profiles. He took it to a whole nother level. But I also think that when you're a college football player and a lot of these guys, not an excuse, but you're so insulated, like all, I bet all Manti did was play football, and his social skills are probably, you know, leave a lot to be
non-existent.
Desired.
Yeah, just
and
say
so when you meet somebody online, you know, you're susceptible. You're susceptible to this. Whatever happened to the person that turned? Was that person?
Yeah, so they were part of it. They actually ended up transitioning. Female. I don't know what their new name was. But yeah, they ended up transitioning, and they were a part of the documentary as well. And you know, it's this whole thing that just started off as something small and spiraled into something bigger that no one could get out of. A very bizarre story, nonetheless, though, Dan. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to the fact that you can't say that someone is your girlfriend when you've never met them in person. That's just what it comes down to. It's at that point, if it's anything, it's an online relationship. But if you have never seen this person in person with your own two eyes in the same room, you can't say you're in a relationship. And that is where Monti Te'o was an idiot.
That can't diminish what was a good NFL football career, though.
Te'o?
Yeah.
Didn't he play like five downs or something for the Chargers?
No, he actually resurrected his career in the final
three years. I didn't know. I honestly didn't pay attention to what he did after he went to the pros because I just I didn't have any high expectations.
Did he take Schrager's spot? I guess he did.
I guess so, yeah. Which you
Schrager's
know.
Now on ESPN, who I really like.
So. Oh, really? Actually, I have one of our old producers here, Kyle Madsen, has beef with Peter Schrager. I don't know if you know this story, but I guess Madsen, who you know was a producer at this station, also used to host weekends. I think you did a few shows with him over the years.
Yeah, sure.
He hit up Schrager to come on Steiny Guru and Dibs at one point, and Schrager just responded, yeah, no, I don't do radio.
No way.
And so, yeah, Kyle Madsen's had beef with Schrager ever since then, and I have a similar situation with Taylor Dewan, actually, of Barstool, I think he's on or whatever, which makes sense. He's a Barstool person. But Taylor Dewan spread this story that, you know, there are people down within the Niners organization that aren't sold on Brock Purdy. And so I hit him up on Twitter. I slid into his DMs on Twitter with the station account and said, hey, can you come on the station and talk about this? And he screenshotted my message. It said, I am not going to go on the Bay Area radio and become a villain down there. And I'm like, well, okay. You're my enemy now. So, cool.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about Schrager because I like Schrags. I at least enjoyed him. I watched him on Bill Simmons' podcast.
He is actually really good, though, in terms of just being
but you hate that
boots on the ground and, you know, getting the information and stuff like that. I always joke. I think he owns like two collared shirts, but...
And another guy that has stood out to me is I didn't like him to begin with, and just to compound things, is J.J. Redick. I don't know if you're familiar with that story.
Well, his naps timed out.
Him and Lucas went after it, and Lucas just said he was one of
I remember that, yeah.
After poor
You know who goes at it with J.J. Redick every now and then is our boss, Matt Nahegian. Every now and then, Nahegian was like, yeah, J.J., you did this. You blew off my producer. And then Redick will just throw like a bunch of tweets like, Matt, I don't know why you keep spreading this narrative. That never happened, blah, 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 blah.
Is Lucas making this up?
I mean, it's Lucas, so it's possible. But no, I trust Lucas on this one. I will say, though, my J.J. Redick run-in story was so much more more chill than that. I called J.J. Redick up. This is when he was doing ESPN, so before he was coaching the Lakers. And I called him up and on the number that we have, Matt sent me the number. And I didn't know the previous history with J.J. Redick at the time, too, by the way. So Matt gave me J.J.'s number, knowing full well
talking
the history,
getting thrown into
but
the
didn't
Lions,
tell man. Me anything. So I call J.J. up, I get him on the phone, and he's like, you know, hey, man. He was really cool about it, actually. He was really friendly and polite about it, which makes the Lucas story so much funnier. But he's like, yeah, man, usually people don't hit me up this way. It's cool. Hit my assistant up at this email, and he gave me the email. And I reached out, and I'm pretty sure it was a fake email that he gave me. But, no, he was very friendly to me.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
On the phone, he was very understanding. He's like, oh, it's all good, you know, you're just doing your job here, reach out to this email and you can book me that way. And then I just never heard from him after that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know that these guys get pulled in a lot of different directions and they have schedules, but just if you have a guy on the phone and he's asking you to, asking him to do a show, what was a couple of days out, the next day or the following week?
I think it was hitting him to come just at some point during a few weeks. This was like, we were at our old building, that's how long ago this was.
All you got to do, J.J. Redick, is don't big league people. I know he was friendly to you, but all you got to do is look at your phone. I'm sure you got a calendar and just say, hey, hold on, Sam. Yeah, I'm free that morning. Or, nah, you know what? I got something going on, man. Sorry, brother. Let's try another time. Don't big league and give you a phony email address and say, hey, listen, check with my people. Like, just be real, man. Just people would have, we understand you guys are busy out there, but just You go much.
Just be a person.
Exactly.
You know? Just be a decent person. Again, like J.J. Redick, and that's these Duke guys. They're born on third base thinking they hit a triple. And, you know, because like some of these media types, it's like, you know, when you reached out, because I remember another guy who I reached out to who was very friendly was Chris Berman.
I had a bad run in with him.
Oh, well, I'm going to tell my good run in and then you could tell your bad run in. But I called him up on his number that I had because, you know, sometimes when you're a producer, sometimes you text guests. Other times, I'm going to be a little bit more pushy. I'm going to call them and try and, you know, book them that way, a little bit more direct. And I called him up on the number we had. The number I had was apparently his house phone, which he didn't appreciate being called on his house phone by a media person, which is understandable. You know, the house phone should be a private number. And he's like, how did you get this number? I'm like, this is just the number that my boss
house
had
phone?
On you.
So is this a rotary phone? What's a house phone?
Yeah, like the phone, you like a landline.
Like a landline.
Yeah, he's one of those people, I guess, who still has landlines. I don't know how many people still have landlines. 888-957-9570. Call in on your landline if you have one and let us know if you have a landline. But he was, you know, I was, you know, of course, you immediately started, oh, Mr. Byrne, I'm so sorry. You know, this is just what we had. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't know they were not supposed to call your number, blah, blah, blah. Basically just, you know, apologizing profusely. And I think he took pity on me and he was very friendly. And said, it's okay. You don't know that going forward, do it, you know, this way, X, Y, and Z. Very friendly about it when clearly he didn't like it. But like, you know what? He could have yelled at me, but I like to assume that when you're someone like Berman, you've been in the media for so long, you've seen so much. Like at one point, Chris Berman was the wide-eyed young media kid, you know, calling up the big wigs about something. And I just like to think that people who are in that position, you got to remember where you came from. And so I like to think that, you know, he understood, oh, this is a young producer. He doesn't really know all the ropes yet. And, you know, if he wants to think that way about me, I'm fine with it. And, you know, he was really cool to me. So with that being said, what happened with you and Chris Berman?
Well, so, and Berman has sort of this, it's a little notorious with him and his reputation. I've heard he can be a little snarky at golf tournaments and he can rub people the wrong way. So he was in town with ESPN and they were covering a Seattle Mariner game. It was a nationally televised game. And so I saw him in the locker room. And somebody mutually introduced us because I was doing a show there as well. And I said, hey, Chris, is there any chance that you could jump on my show and we do a show on Sunday night? Are you still going to be here? Because the producer or somebody had said, yeah, we'll still be here. Because I actually asked the producer first. The producer walked me over to Berman. And Berman was talking to somebody else at the time. Or he was sort of, he saw me. And he was talking to me, but then he turned to somebody who was right and got into another conversation. And I said, Chris, I reiterated, any chance you could join us on Sunday? And then he turned to me and he said, look, I'm just in town for a couple of days. I don't want to do your show. It's like, I'm just here for a few days. I'm going to go get a bite to eat. You know, it's like, leave me alone. I mean, and I was young at the time. And had he done that a few years after I had some, you know, some experience,
some credibility, yeah.
Some experience under my belt, I would have like said, listen, pal, I'm doing you a favor. You're coming on the Dan Devone show for crying out loud. you got to be kidding me. Another guy,
you'd
and then
be
we'll
so
move
lucky.
On, was Terry Bradshaw. I don't know if you
know this. Oh, really? I've never had a run-in with Terry.
So Terry Bradshaw, Terry Bradshaw was doing he wrote a book. And so he was doing one of those satellite tours, which is essentially a lot of the big affiliates. If you're in a big market, he sits in a chair, they put cameras on him, and then everybody around the country gets an opportunity to interview him for like 10 to 15 minutes. And a producer say, okay, now we're going out to Los Angeles. Oh, and the guy's name is Dan Devone.
I'll be honest, that just to have to do that, sit in a chair and do the same interview over and over again like that,
he's pimping his
that.
Own book.
I know it's part
and
of the
proceeds
job.
Weren't going anywhere except to his bank
well, absolutely,
account.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I always
no,
say
understood.
Every
yeah.
job, I always say, Dan, no matter how fun it is, like here in radio, we have a pretty fun job here in the radio. You know, you got to do WWE stuff. That had to be a very fun job too. There's a lot of fun things we get to do, every job. But also every job has things that just suck. You know, like when I have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and come in here and listen to Joe Shasky scream about the 49ers at 5 in the morning, that's not one of my fun parts of the job. You know, every job has no matter how fun, there's aspects that suck. And Terry Bradshaw, who's had a very great media career, definitely I'm sure he has very little to complain about. But yeah, the concept of having to sit in a chair and do the same interview with 15 different markets for an entire day, that actually sounds like one of the most miserable experiences.
And it can be problematic. To your point, they get a little frisky and they get a lot of things that you'll see bloopers on the air are those satellite interviews, except that people aren't aware that it's that's because it's somebody who's sitting in a chair for over an hour and you're right, doing the exact same thing.
You probably want to go first on that one because then you get the freshest version.
You want to be in the first.
You don't want to be at the end of that one.
So he couldn't have been more polite because he's selling his book and he actually got emotional. He's addressing me by my first name. He's like, Dan, I got to tell you, you know, there was a time in my life where I just, you know, I suffered from depression and there were a lot of things that I had to overcome. I mean, just, he couldn't have been more open. He couldn't have been more honest. He couldn't have been, more affable. But again, the bottom line in all of this is that he's selling a book. He's selling his book.
So it has to be nice.
So about a year, maybe later, my producer gets Terry Bradshaw and says, Brett, because I used to do this half-hour show and I used to do a Seahawks pre- and post-game show. We got Terry Bradshaw. He's going to join us on an interview. This wasn't a satellite interview. He was just talking to me. Obviously, didn't want to do it. And he's at the studios at Fox. And so we had a, you know this, so we had problems with the connection. And he obviously wasn't in studio. I had to talk to him. He was in Los Angeles. So there was like a weird delay after the first question.
Oh, that'll make it so much easier.
And there was
easier.
A bit of an echo. And so said, Terry, and then I stammered. I said, oh, Terry, because I heard, you know, that we were getting feedback. And it was a completely different animal. The first thing he said to me was, you having a hard time talking today there? I mean, he was just, couldn't have been more absolutely the polar opposite of this person that I'd interviewed previously. And I cut that thing so short, and he was one of the most rude persons that I've ever dealt with. Maybe he is bipolar. I don't know. Nothing,
oh
you know.
My God.
I mean, well, he's dealt with some issues in his life.
Well, yeah, I mean.
People talk about how his personality can really fluctuate. So maybe I got the Jekyll and Hyde.
I mean, he did play football in an era when, you know, your head was your best weapon. He did play for a Steelers team that was known for their physicality and using their heads as a weapon. So, yeah, that'll probably play a little bit into the performance, too. But, again, you think about a guy who's just – I mean, Terry Bradshaw, he's one of those guys. Like, the fact that he used to be young is one of those things that escapes me.
Have you ever seen him young?
I've seen him, yeah. I've seen the old clips
guy,
from the 70s.
Beautiful blonde hair, just
but
a
in my lifetime,
face.
He's always been the old ball guy.
Yeah, exactly.
On the Fox pregame
crazy
show.
Crazy ball guy.
And I've always enjoyed him on that show, but again, I mean, he's done so much in his career on the media end.
Yeah, well, he's good. He's very good at what it is that he
good.
Does. Still to this day, he can still bring it. But there's clips of him. If you watch Terry Bradshaw back in the day, he used to play the guitar when he was a rookie with the Pittsburgh. He was a rookie, by the way, mm-hmm. when he threw the Immaculate Reception.
Deception. Yeah.
It beat the Oakland Raiders when they were the Oakland Raiders back in the day. And you Raider fans obviously can remember that dreadful day. But I believe it was on Christmas Day. Anyways, that year he was just like this. He was like Joe Burrow maybe that first year, this good-looking, really sort of interesting guy. And I remember there's one interview, he was playing his guitar, and he just lit up the room. And then the same group, I think it might have been CBS and Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire, interviewed him again, and he was just this monosyllabic one-word answers. Like, yeah. I mean, there has always been this sort of like very two sides to Terry Bradshaw. So anyways. We can move on from Terry Bradshaw and talk about football in these parts. And speaking of quarterbacks, the San Francisco 49ers will go again with Mac Jones, who will get the call against the Atlanta Falcons. It's a Sunday night affair. It's back here at Levi's Stadium as the 49ers take on a Falcon team who is on a short week. The Falcons look very good in beating Buffalo. But speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, who are the Atlanta Falcons? The team that got spanked and shut out 33-0 by that of the Carolina Panthers, or a team that was so impressive against that of the Buffalo Bills? What are you expecting from Atlanta coming up on Sunday night, Sam?
I mean, they got to be riding high off that win right now. I mean, again, they got two impressive wins in a row, Dan, one against Washington, then one against Buffalo. Both of those wins are at home, though. Both those wins were at home, though, for them. They also beat the Vikings in Week 2 on the road. So they've got three pretty impressive wins here to start things off. For me, I'm looking at Bijan Robinson. And he is in his third year now running back, the running back out of Texas. Watching him against the Bills on Monday, Dan, I'm thinking about the Niners' run defense, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, Bijan is going to gobble this defensive front up. Like, the Niners have just been...
Who's going to tackle him?
Exactly. I mean, the pressure up front has to be better if the Niners are going to win this game, Dan. It's that simple. You know, at some point, Mykel Williams, he's had moments. I don't want to say Mykel Williams has been bad, but he's had moments. And he'd be going against an Atlanta team that has one of his former defensive linemates in Jalen Walker, who was drafted four picks after Mykel Williams in the draft. They were both on that Georgia defensive line last year. If Mykel Williams, you know, doesn't have a good game and Jalen Walker is, you know, abusing Trent Williams and getting into the Niners'
Jalen
backfield.
Walker's out, by the way.
Jalen Walker's out. Well, then I guess that takes that concern off the table there. But you know who else is
Teddy
out?
Zach.
I talked about that. That's good producing right there, actually cutting in there and delivering that little nugget. Because then I'm going to pivot to my other thing where it's well, Mykal Williams, he might be going against. We had Carl Dukes on the morning roast yesterday, Dan. Carl Dukes does afternoon drive, Dukes and Bell, out on 92.9 The Game.
Say, who the hell is Charlie Dukes?
Yeah, Carl Dukes. Carl Dukes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Carl Dukes, 92.9 The Game, our sister station out in Atlanta. So obviously he knows a thing or two about the Falcons. The Falcons offensive line has been littered with injuries. I mean, they got third, fourth stringers going at the tackle spots right now for Atlanta. So there's a chance potentially for Mykal Williams to go against some non-starting caliber players and, you know, maybe put together a solid performance here to kind of get his season rejuvenated here, because he's had moments, Dan, but he hasn't, like Nick Bosa in his first year, you know, that week four game, Monday night, national TV against the Cleveland Browns. That was
Baker Mayfield.
That was a big coming out game for him. Yeah, remember, he had the big sack. He did the flag thing. Yeah. And that was kind of Nick Bosa's, like, oh, we got someone good here moment. I need Mykal Williams to have that kind of a moment on Sunday night on national TV against this Atlanta Falcons team. If he could do something like that, I think that could go a long way for the Niners. That's just one thing. I'm not saying Mykal Williams is the difference between a win or a loss on Sunday night, but I want to see a big night from this kid. I really do.
You speak about that offensive line of that the Atlanta Falcons. You know who is one of their best run blockers? A guy by the name of Charlie Warner. You remember him?
I do, yeah. Niners legend Charlie Warner.
Yes, that's right. All right. We see on the phone lines Don and Concord and the rest of you hanging there.
He was at the Cal game last
night. Yeah, we're going to talk. We'll go back to the Cal Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get into the 49ers talk as they get ready for the Atlanta Falcons. It's all coming up tomorrow. For right now, it's Sam Levin, it's Dan Avone, and Caddy Zach. And Don's going to join us in a matter of moments right here on 95.7 The Game.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.